Morning, everyone, and happy Easter to each of you, to all of my church, Smith Grove Baptist Church, and then all of the family members and friends and friends on Facebook that are listening in. We appreciate you joining us today. I want to say as we begin our service that we may not be where we want to be, but thank the Lord. We're still in God's hands, and He's still on the throne. And we can rejoice in that. I want to begin our service today by just reading a passage of scripture from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And let me read these verses now to each of you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 12, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." I want to borrow one part of verse number 14 as my text today for this Easter Sunday sermon. And that is simply the words in verse 14, "If Christ be not risen." But let me continue on in the way these verses read. It says, "Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." Well, here we are together, Easter Sunday, Easter 2020. And all of us, as all of you well know, we're at home instead of church. And it goes without saying, and I'm sure each of you folks will agree with me on this, that Easter Sunday doesn't seem quite the same without having our church service. We usually, at the Smith Grove Baptist Church, we usually start the morning off with a sunrise service, and then we have our Easter breakfast together, our time of fellowship together after the sunrise service. Churches, as a general rule on Easter Sunday, witness their biggest attendances. It's hard to accept the fact of empty church parking lots and empty churches on this day of all days. The wonderful thing about this day is that the main event that this day celebrates is unchanged, and its significance is unaffected. It is not nearly as important where we are as where he is. And that's the key point. He is resurrected and alive and well in spite of the events that you and I are contending with in our world today. He's resurrected, and that event is the answer to hope in life. And so we're gathered today around a computer screen. And we're looking at simply a computer screen, thinking, boy, this is far different than the way it was last Easter Sunday and all the other Easter Sundays. But yet, just remember this. The Grinch didn't steal Christmas, and the virus didn't steal Easter. And that's the thing that we focus on today. Nothing has ever happened in the past, present, or future that will render ineffective the finished work of Jesus Christ. Churches might be dead and empty today, but God's people are alive and filled with the peace and the presence of the Lord. I told Carol before Easter Sunday arrived, I told her that this is one preacher that was going to get up on Easter Sunday, dress up like I've done for over 40 years, and thanks to Facebook, you're going to both hear me and see my ugly mug. But you see, For years, I used to complain and gripe and fight the progress of technology. But you see, I'm thankful to God today that while we can't be in church, I can still look into that little camera knowing that I've got folks in my church that are still watching. We're still having church, and folks that are associated friends are also watching as well. You know, my congregation today, yes, it consists of you folks out there, the unseen audience. My congregation today consists of six people. My wife, Carol, Bernie Johnson, myself, but more importantly, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, you know, I look at it like that. So ready or not, we're having church today. Since we are Baptist church, I've dispatched carrier pigeons to start arriving in your homes anytime to collect the offering, which will be flown to our church treasure. Get ready, Brother Glenn. Y'all know I'm joking, don't you? But now, let's return back to the text. If Christ be not risen, if Christ be not risen, you know, a well-known cynic once said that the historical evidence supporting the fact of the resurrection was so great that it could not be denied. But that event which took place over 2,000 years ago had no relevance for modern man. Well, all of us today strongly disagree with that. The resurrection of Christ is relevant in a number of ways. Well, for example, it gives credibility to the scriptures. It gives completion to the gospel. You will notice even in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, our chosen chapter and book today for this Easter Sunday sermon, the Apostle Paul even starts out the chapter talking about the gospel. For I deliver unto you the gospel. And then he continues on, and it's clearly stated, the gospel is the good news concerning the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, I'm saying today that the resurrection of Christ, it gives credibility to the scriptures. It gives completion to the gospel. It gives a challenge to Christian commitment. It gives comfort to the suffering saint. And it gives certainty to the future resurrection of the child of God. The resurrection of Christ proved his deity. It procured redemption. And it pronounces victory over death, hell, and the grave. If Christ be not risen, our faith would be vain. Our future would be hopeless, and our forgiveness would be impossible. Now, I want to come back to that very thought, which is my text today for this Easter Sunday sermon. If Christ be not risen, if Christ be not risen, ponder that thought this morning. If Christ be not risen, there would be no need of having open church doors even if we could. This world would be covered today with a canopy of gloom and a canopy of doom, and no reason to be happy if Christ be not risen. There would be no gospel message. There would be nothing of any hope, any promise, if Christ be not risen. No message concerning his death, burial, and resurrection. Paul could not have said, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he arose again the third day according to scriptures. He could not have said that. If he be not risen, we would be in a world of hurt, in more ways that we can imagine. also too, if Christ be not risen, it could not have been said on that glorious first Easter morning, he's not here, for he's risen. For he saith, come see the place where the Lord lay. If Christ be not risen, the stone would have still been in place. Jesus could not have given assurance to the dying thief, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That would have been a misnomer. If Christ be not risen, preaching would be unnecessary. If Christ be not risen, the Bible would have been unwritten. I think of those precious truths concerning the inspiration of Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. If Christ be not risen, the Bible would have been unwritten. No songwriter could have ever written in truthfulness such precious words. Holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine. No songwriter could have ever written the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. When we think of literature, of books that have been written, and I mean many popular books, many classic books, books that today may grace our libraries and we read them. We have novels. We have mysteries. We have all types of books that have been written. Good book writers are gifted with the ability to write books that stir the emotions and influence the readers to action. I think of how books have been written and have been used to spread propaganda. I think of the propaganda media of the printed page and how minds have been changed. We could talk about The Origin of Species, written by Charles Darwin, and how many people have been influenced to embrace atheism by that book. We think of the book written by Adolf Hitler, Mein Kampf, and how that book has influenced the minds of people as it promoted the Nazi ideology. But listen to me this morning. There is only one book that can transform the heart. There is only one book that can produce life and procure cleansing. There is only one book that can promise hope and can prophesy accurately where the world is heading. The good news of salvation in Jesus Christ is the fundamental message of Scripture. When we think of the Bible, of its inspiration, when we compare the Old Testament and the New, we have 66 books that make up our Bible, but those 66 books are unified as they present the common theme, redemption through Christ. He's the center stage throughout Scripture. You know, the understanding of basic truth about the Bible is fundamental in shaping our attitude, our respect, and our love for Scripture. To realize that our Bible promotes the Savior and the theme of redemption. Interestingly enough, we could go all the way back to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. God gave prophecy, even in chapter 3, verse 15. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shall bruise his heel. We have there a verse, a prophecy concerning the cross. And listen to me this morning on this Easter Sunday. Satan's heel or head was bruised. He accepted a mortal wound because Jesus would conquer death, hell, and the grave. He would come up out of that grave. And I'll tell you today, yes, the devil is alive and well on planet Earth, But Jesus is far more powerful. I might be sitting in front of nothing but a screen this morning, but you can believe me when I tell you, I'm as thrilled this morning in preaching this Easter Sunday message as I have ever been. I really am. The resurrection of Christ. All the precious truth of that. All 66 books of the Bible promote the Savior and redemption through Him in some way, shape, or form. We could talk about the types as respecting His redemptive work. They come together at the cross. And His resurrection is the very capstone of Christian doctrine. The capstone of Christian doctrine. Let me illustrate my point this way. The Old Testament said He's coming. But the Old Testament not only said He's coming, but He's coming for a reason. Now, let me illustrate my point like this. You know, when times are normal and we travel to visit with people and have them in our homes, we do so for significant reasons. Visits are made for a reason. Now, if we attempted to visit one another now in their home, we might get into trouble. You know, we may be accompanied back out of the home by the police. So, you know, we can't do that now. But under normal times, people visit for a reason. Listen to me. Jesus came to this earth for a reason. But let me come back to my illustration. Let's say someone comes to see you, to visit you. Now, again, my thought is, why do people make visits? If Carol would say to me, here comes the mailman, and I'd say, why? She'd say, why do you ask that dumb question? To bring the mail. To bring the mail. People visit for reasons. They visit to fellowship, to bring something, to be with the family, or in the case of one instance that I know, they visit to take a nap. Now, years ago when my father-in-law was living, and another precious, dear church member who's in heaven right now along with my father-in-law, Brother Gene Pitts. Well, I walked over to the house one day to check in with my father-in-law, and Brother Gene Pitts had visited him, and I walked in and both of them were sleeping. Now, I thought that's an unusual reason to visit, but I guess that'll work. So, come back to the point here. The Old Testament announced He's coming, but not only that. The Old Testament said He's coming for reason. For reason. He's coming to provide redemption through the sacrifice at Calvary. But His death on the cross was not in vain because He's risen. The message of the Savior and His coming redemption, if we understand that, oh, how it thrills us. We read the Old Testament and the New Testament, and it all makes sense. You know, the Bible is a close-knit book when you see it like that. It's about Christ and redemption. Now, think with me on this point. Let's think about some of the things happened in the Old Testament. Let's think about some of the types. Let's think about some of the miracles. Let's think about some of the things that occurred. The offering of Isaac. Genesis 22. That says He's coming. God will provide Himself a lamb. And oh, but He did. The Passover. Exodus chapter 12. He's coming. And yes, He did come. For a reason. For a reason. To die on the cross and be resurrected. The serpent was lifted up in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He's coming. He was lifted up upon the cross. He did take care of sin death. The water out of the rock. Water out of the rock. I see Christ, don't you? The manna that came from heaven. I see Christ, the living. The manna that God gave from heaven. The city of refuge. He is our city of refuge today, child of God. And sinner friend, you can flee to that city of refuge today too. Prophecies, the types, and oh, don't you love this? I don't know whether to weep now or shout. What about the kinsman redeemer? Praise God. The kinsman redeemer. That's who he is. He took upon himself our humanity. He became like us, minus sin, but he died upon that cross and rose to make Easter Sunday possible. He did indeed die on that cross. He took the stinger out of death. He took the victory out of the grave. And I say today, hallelujah, what a Savior. He's risen. And type in hallelujah right now if you want to. It won't bother me. This Bible would be unwritten if Christ be not risen. Preaching would be unnecessary. The Bible would be unwritten. And then graves would forever be undisturbed if Christ be not risen. They would forever be undisturbed. We visit the cemetery many times, many people this time of the year, and place a wreath of flower on the graves of their loved ones. And if they know that their loved one was saved, they walk away from that grave with a tear in their eyes, but assurance in their hearts. For they know the only thing the grave contains is the remains of the physical body. When Jesus arose, go back with me to that gospel narrative. When Jesus arose, some of the Old Testament saints come out of the ground, didn't they? And walked around. Graves were disturbed. Now, could you imagine this morning how cemeteries will look when the rapture takes place? Now, I know this is a human thought. I know that in our minds, we're thinking when the rapture takes place, it's going to be, look like a mini earthquake's taking place out in the cemeteries. Graves messed up, dirt removed, and an upheaval. In our minds, we're thinking that will take place. That's a human thought. And how else can we think? I mean, imagine now, on resurrection morning, imagine the rapture of the church. Imagine when the people of God, their bodies are raised. Imagine that. Isn't it thrilling? But here's something else to factor in, though. He actually will resurrect. He could resurrect his people. And not disturb one grain of dirt. If you wanted to. He's able to do that because he's God, isn't he? You know, the Bible, here's my point. The Bible doesn't tell us how the ground is affected. But thank God it tells us how the body is going to be affected. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. With the voice of the archangel of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about translation. Talks about the change. Moment, twinkling of an eye. Before I get through with my Easter Sunday message, sitting in my home in my message, before I say amen, we that are saved might receive our promotion orders. Wouldn't it be something to be resurrected or translated? Wouldn't it be something if the rapture would take place on Easter Sunday? Now, wouldn't that be nice? You see, the thing about it, Jesus had to be risen himself in order to be the first fruits. Then afterwards, they that are his at his coming. He's the first fruits. So, as I wind down my thoughts here this morning, I want to come to a final point and make some comments here. If Christ be not risen, preaching would be unnecessary. If Christ be not risen, the Bible would be unwritten. If Christ be not risen, graves would be undisturbed. If Christ be not risen, life would be unreasonable. Life would be unreasonable. I think about the atheist, the agnostic, and the evolutionists today that espouse their doctrine, that promote their ideology. If Christ be not risen, they would have a case in point. They would have a valid advantage. If Christ be not risen, then why not just eat, drink, and be merry? I mean, after all, this life would be the closest that we'd ever see of anything with a semblance of heaven. This would be the closest. If Christ be not risen. If there is no God, no judgment, no accountability, no heaven, no hell, if we simply existed without purpose, just existed, then why not just enjoy every pleasure possible? Because after all, if that be true, after this life there would be nothing. You know, when we start the reading of our Bible, we begin with the book of Genesis. And obviously we begin with verse 1. Do you know what? When we accept what the first book of our Bible says, two great truths are understood about life. Two great truths. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If we can really grasp that and see that, two great truths are understood about life. What are they? The origin of life and the sanctity of life. The origin of life and the sanctity of life. Human life owes its existence to God. And since God is a creator of human life, he decides the ending of physical life, not man. Those who truly accept the truth of Genesis 1:1 could never support abortion unless the mother's life is at stake, obviously. When you believe that, Genesis 1:1 supports the origin of life and the sanctity of life. Christ is risen. And we believe that if God can create this world, set it in motion, accurately establish the flow of time, if he can arrange the arrival of the seasons, if he can warm this earth with the arrival of springtime, if he can tell the flowers to come up, if he can nudge the spring birds to sing a summer song, if he can cause that old dead-looking dogwood to come alive along the banks of the river and decorate the banks of the river, thank God, he can take care of us. Oh, yes, the resurrection of Christ is that powerful. He conquered death, hell, and the grave, and he is the rhyme, his life is a rhyme and reason for all life. I said a while ago I had a final, but I'm sorry, I have one final. One closing point. And it's simply this. Because Christ is risen, there is life. There is hope. There is joy available to all. Christians know what I'm talking about. In spite of this unusual way we're celebrating Easter this year, did any of us ever think we'd be hearing an Easter sermon on Facebook? Well, praise the Lord. He made house call today himself. He made a house call today in our homes, didn't he? He visited us here. You know, we're used to going to church on Easter Sunday and God blessing us and sensing his presence there. But hey, he made a house call here. And that's, in my opinion, that's pretty precious. The risen Lord is not only alive, but he's here today. Do you know this risen Lord? Easter Sunday is far more significant than being any kind of a pagan holiday or something that we do every year just out of a holiday intent. Far more important. A lot of people do a lot of things on Easter Sunday. Families get together, have meals. I've noticed that more people even decorate trees, put little eggs on trees. I mean, it becomes somewhat of a big celebration. But let me tell you today, people on Easter Sunday, there's one thing they need more than anything else. They need the risen Savior in their heart and in their life. If you're listening to me right now and you've never been saved, I would be remiss. I would not close this message right if I just close it out without saying to you, God loves you. Jesus died for you. You're a sinner. You have to have your sins forgiven. But because Jesus paid all to him I owe, sin hath left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. He took your sin debt and he arose again. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. So you know what you need to do right now if you're an unsaved person? You need to realize you're a sinner. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. You need to realize the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You need to trust him today to be your Lord and your Savior. You could bow your head right now, right in front of that computer screen. And if you'll pray this from the heart, dear Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus died for me. Was buried. Come into my heart and save me right now for Jesus' sake. Guess what will happen, or maybe what has already happened, if you prayed that prayer from the heart and did what Paul said, that if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Guess what happened? On Easter Sunday, the day that we celebrate the resurrection of Christ, you would have been raised spiritually, resurrected already spiritually, and made alive spiritually, because the Bible says you have to quicken you were dead and trespassed in sin. When a sinner trusts Christ, they're already resurrected spiritually. And then you see, that's the greatest way to celebrate Easter Sunday. So in closing today, if Christ be not risen, preaching would be unnecessary. The Bible would be unwritten. Graves would be undisturbed. And life would be unreasonable. He is risen. He is alive. And he is blessing today in spite of the coronavirus. And that's what I'm thrilled about today. I look forward to getting back in church with all my church family. You can see the little sign here back behind me. I love my church, and I do. We all love our church. And I wish I was there this morning. But I tell you what, I've had church here today. And I trust you have. Let's close in prayer. Father, bless now this message. We ask you today, Lord, to use it today to speak to hearts, save the lost, encourage your people. We thank you for this Easter Sunday. We rejoice in the risen Savior. In his precious name I pray. Amen.